Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me, we have a lot to cover today. It's interesting that the prophetic word came forth that came forth. It's a this is one of those days, if you miss it, you're going to be sorry. But the Holy Spirit is saying to us as Christians, if you're visiting today, this is kind of a family message. We as New Life have gone through the book of Hebrews. And I took some license in skipping some of the first part of Hebrews chapter 12 about the chastening, because how many know we've been chastened? So we don't really need to be reminded when you're whacked, you don't need to be reminded that you were whacked. How many know what I'm talking about? The woodshed is there, but we don't talk about it. We don't have to. So God is faithful in challenging us and chastening us. But we've come to a place as Christians, especially in this time, whether you're visiting, you're part of New Life, we have got to be completely honest. This wave that's coming, we've got to be honest with God of where our hearts are, let Him do what He needs to do in us so that we're prepared for the hour at hand. And as we're yielding to Him, He has all the strength, all the power, all the anointing is ours. If we yield to Him. If not, and we want to do things on our own, God will not encroach upon our liberties. He will allow us to do it on our own. How many know? I'd rather have Him help me get through it. I don't want to do it on my own. We have covered the chastening of the Lord prior today. Now it's time to address the issue at hand. What we have been through as a church has been tough on the flesh. I understand that. We, as New Life, we've went through the book of Romans and through the book of Acts, and now we've kind of, the first part of Hebrews was such a heavy time. We took a break for a while and we talked about happy stuff, then we came back to it. And it's not a negative thing, it's a very positive thing, because Hebrews is a book of preparation. It's going to culminate here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to culminate. And right after this verses that we'll read today, the Lord says, you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, where there was darkness and lightnings. And He told people, if you touch the mountain, you're going to die. But you have come to the presence of the Lord, to His holy place, where you're welcomed. See? And once our heart is right, we're welcomed in His presence. Hebrews 12:12, if you'll look there with me, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So the writer now has gotten through all of the corrections and all of the chastening. And it's weary. Sometimes we're weary from all of those changes. It's almost like you say, God, any more adjustments that you need to make, could you just give me a little vacation from adjustments? Anybody ever feel that way when you're saying, God, my heart is open to You. Make all the adjustments necessary. And it never seems to end. Why? Because we're dealing, it's hard to be around somebody that thinks they're perfect. You ever been around somebody like that that just thinks they never do anything wrong? Of course, that's nobody. Say, that's not me. But we've all known people that think just about everything they think, everything they do. Well, God is our Creator that really does everything right. And when we compare ourselves with Him, if we compare ourselves with each other, we get full of pride. Or we get full of disdain or discouragement. Either somebody's better than us or we're better than them. That's why the Word of God says don't do that comparison. Strengthen is what God is asking us to do. Strengthen ourselves. Because He's never going to stop making the adjustment. But the writer of Hebrews wants us to know, the Holy Spirit wants us to know, first to strengthen our hands which hang down. We're weary sometimes from battle, talking about our spiritual hands, and unsure of what to grab onto. God, this is supposed to be, some of this serving you is supposed to be fun. I'm not having much fun dying to myself. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one that's been there before? You kind of saying, I don't want to. But God is trying to get us to a place where all of heaven is open to us without fear of any encroachment, any fear of sin. God is open to us. We're open to Him. And He uses us in power and anointing. So He says, strengthen the hands that hang down. Our resolve must be to seek Him and to know His will, pure as He wants us to be. And it's not the first time it's mentioned in Isaiah 35:3. It says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. One of the things that I know about being pure before the Lord is the enemy likes to attack pure people. The enemy doesn't do a whole lot of attacking of people that are compromising. If you wonder why you haven't been under spiritual attack lately, maybe it's because your heart's not right. The enemy doesn't waste time on somebody he already has. But somebody that's pure and following God, the enemy is going to attack. But we win every time. Come on, somebody. The Word of God says, to be strong and do not fear. He told Job 4:3, surely you have instructed many and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling and you have strengthened the feeble knees. God is after making us strong. After the chastening comes the strength and power to do His will and experience consistent victory. And if anything, listen, I don't care if you're visiting today. I don't care if you've been with Jesus for 2 weeks or 20 years. This world is looking for consistency. Heard a prophetic word. I encourage you to go to, I forget what it's called. Danny and Holly sent it to me. Prophecies of, for 2018 and beyond. Prophetic words for 2018 and beyond. You can find it on YouTube. And one of the things was the confusion that we see. How many know we're living in a world of confusion right now? I mean, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Nobody trusts anybody. Everybody's talking, backbiting, all kinds of things is happening. Because every mountain, the seven mountains, the education, politics, the arts, come on someone, the church, everything is being shaken. God's shaking out the sin, shaking out the compromise. And there's confusion, and the prophetic word was the confusion will grow. It won't even stop in the United States. It'll go worldwide. I believe that we're already seeing it. And the people that are being drawn by the Holy Spirit need to see a group of people that know our God and do great exploits. See, doesn't mean we're perfect. God's going to still correct us and do all those things, but strengthen the hands. The writer is encouraging us through the Spirit to take heart and stay the course. And again, it's not a new theme. Throughout the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3 and 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. The whole theme of Hebrews is, there's a place He's taking us. And it can be tough, but it's supposed to be tough. He's dealing with us from a place of perfection. Come on, somebody. When a human being tries to correct you, you say, well, who are you? You got your own problems. Come on, somebody. You ever feel that way? Somebody trying to... Who are you to tell me what to do? But when God tells you what to do, because He's not doing it out of pride. He's not doing it out of trying to be better than you. He's already better than you. He's not trying to prove anything. He has nothing to prove. But the only motivation God has is to make you like Him. It's the only motivation He has. It's not to make you feel bad. It's not to make you feel smaller than Him. It's not to make you feel terrible. It's not to make you feel sin conscious. He wants you to be righteousness conscious. And he's making all those adjustments and taking you to the woodshed for one reason. He wants to make you look like him. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. So he says, strengthen the feeble hands and the feeble knees. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Many times we have to walk it out after missing the leading of the Lord. Exercising our faith and walking in obedience. What you have learned will serve you well. You're not disqualified. Strengthen the feeble knees. And we need to understand, again, God's motivation. Several years ago, an Eastern newspaper reported a story about a woman was driving home when she noticed a huge truck was following her and was driving uncomfortably close. And she stepped on the gas to gain some distance from the truck, but when she sped up, the truck did so also. And the faster she drove, the faster the truck drove. She was scared and exited the freeway, but the truck followed her. The woman then turned up Main Street hoping that her pursuer would stop in traffic, but the truck ran a red light and continued the chase. Reaching the point of panic, the woman whipped her car into a service station and bolted out of the auto screaming for help. The truck driver sprang from his truck and ran toward her car, yanking the back door open. The driver pulled out a man hidden in the back seat. The woman was running from the wrong person. From his high vantage point, the truck driver saw a man, a would-be rapist, that was in the woman's car. The chase was not his effort to harm her, but to save her at the cost of his own safety. Likewise, many of us run from God fearing what he might do to us. Know that God's motivation is to protect us, to make us look more like him. His motivation is not that any should perish. His motivation is never negative. It's not to make us feel terrible. You need to feel terrible for a couple days, so I'm going to make you feel terrible. That's not his motivation. His motivation is to make us like him. And in the process, we have to say no to things so we can say yes to God. That's where Hebrews has brought us. And then it says, make a straight path. Watch in verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now you'll notice that God is now putting some responsibility on us. Notice that? Remember when you were young and you started to get older and all of a sudden mom wasn't doing all your laundry and making your bed. Mom said, it's your turn to do the laundry. It's your laundry, you do it. It's your bed, you make it. What am I, your slave? Anybody have a mom like that? You know, when I got old enough, 7, 8 years old, I had a lot of chores given me. By the time I was 10, I was taking care of myself mostly. Come on, someone. So God is no different. He wants us to prove the work that he's done in us. And he wants to prove it. He says, now I've done a good work in you. I've begun a good work and I'm continuing. Now I'm giving you some responsibility. So he says, make straight paths for your feet. It's a command for us to do, not for him to do. We're saying, God, I know your will. I'm going to walk straight through it. It's for us to do, not God. God's intent was that Israel, when they left Egypt, make a straight beeline for the promised land. I welcome you to go look at the map of what happened to the children of Israel. It looks like a corkscrew. Finally, it beelines across, but it took them 40 years to do it. How many know that wasn't God's choice? How many know that wasn't God's choice? You say, well, that was God had that plan. No, it wasn't God's choice. He said, I'm sending you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they sent 12 spies in and they made the choice that they shouldn't go. You say, God, you made promises to me years ago. You promised me I would go there. And God said, I haven't broke my promise. You broke your promise. You've got sidelined. You got sidetracked somewhere. I'll put you on the right path, but it's up to you. Make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. It's a strong word. God, I don't want to fool around anymore. I know what to do. I know you've given me all these things. I see very clearly. Now I just need to go. Verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people. And this is where it's going to start to get hinky. Anybody know what hinky means? Weird. Because we're going to deal with some stuff today. Because we need to move beyond this in our individual lives, corporate lives. Maybe if you're visiting today, you're at the same place. Pursue peace. Pursue it until it is done. We use it rather loosely. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds. How many know when you have the peace of God, you know it's the peace of God? And so many of us don't because we haven't had peace with all people. We've held grudges. We think things about each other that aren't true or that used to be true. Because our relationship with one another, go ahead and look to your left or to your right, our relationship with one another reflects our relationship with God. If we have problems with one another, we're going to have problems with God. Not the other way around. You say, I don't have any problem with God, I have a problem with you. Well, if you got a problem with me, you got a problem with God. Come on, somebody. A family, a relationship, a local church will never reach its potential without this necessary step. Disagreements and misunderstanding must be put to bed today. And we're going to deal with it today. Just in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you, and if you're just sitting there with your arms crossed, let's talk. But we need to get it taken care of, whether we've known each other for 5 minutes or 50 years. We need to get completely honest with one another. And the best thing that we can do is just forget. Don't get into the whys and wherefores. Pursue peace with all men, all people. This verse is quoted wrong a lot. Be holy or you won't see God. But we forget the first part of that verse that says, if you're not at peace with all men, you won't see God. If we harbor anything against one another, no matter how small or how large it is, our vision of God is gone. God says you can't go any further. You've come this far, you can't go any further because you're not at peace with all men. You say, well, that's impossible. You don't know what men did. I don't care what men did to you. I'm just telling you that the perfect one, it's not me talking. Because I got my own foibles of my own, you know. I'm still kind of angry with God because I don't have any hair, you know what I mean? Just kidding. But God's dealing with us. And again, it's not the first time. He reminds us in His Word, disagreements and misunderstandings have to be taken care of. He said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Say, I want to be called a son of God. Then be a peacemaker. Don't take any offense at anything. Well, I'm owed that offense. Thank you very much. I've been offended and I've got a right to be offended. No, you don't. You don't have any right to be offended. But I say to you, in verse 44 of Matthew 5, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Who are we to be at peace with? Everyone. The only conflict is a spiritual one against the devil and his ilk. I'm never going to make peace with the enemy. Thank you very much. That needs to stay on fire. Not offended at him. I'm just after him. Come on, somebody. I want to put a hurting on the devil. Scripture Let's look at a couple scriptures together. Psalm 34:14. It's up here on the screen. If you want to turn and mark your Bible, please do that. Psalm 34:14. Y'all okay? Everybody, y'all all right? This is like, this is X-ray time, man. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That pursue means to run after with fervency until you get it. If there's anything that's not in peace, that's a promise from the Word that we have peace that passes all understanding. If we don't have peace, we fall short. And if we don't have peace with all men, we're going to look for God, we can't find Him. When I was a young man, I was struck with this very thing I'm talking about this morning. And I had to forgive somebody that I never wanted to forgive. It was my dad. I'd have you crying in 10 minutes if I said some of the things that happened in my home. I hated him. Then he fooled around and got saved, and he's in heaven. So I got to see him someday. Imagine that. When I first got saved, I was mad at God. I said, God, how could you let somebody that like that in heaven? And look what he did. And I had to forgive it. I had to pursue peace with him, even though I never see him on this side of heaven. I can't wait to see him. Give him a big hug. But when I did, there was so much healing took place in me. Things that I didn't even attribute to my hate of him, I had, because I couldn't see God in those things, because I was harboring unforgiveness and hate for somebody that God forgave. Come on, somebody. 1 Peter 3:11. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. There it is again, pursuing peace. Romans 12:11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then in Romans 14:19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Folks, we've reached a place in our world where everybody knows what sin is. It's broadcast every day. Come on, somebody. We don't need to tell people what sin is. We need to tell people what righteousness is. And that we love them anyway. It's time to love the unlovable. That's the way they'll understand. What was Jesus' secret? Friend of prostitutes and wine. He's a wine bibber. Said he was friends of sinners. They chastised him for it. What was his secret? He just loved them. You see, peace and holiness, that scripture says to pursue peace with all men and holiness. Holiness and peace are the two sides of the same coin. If you can't have peace, you won't be holy. If you're not holy, you won't have peace. The Greek meaning of holiness is a sanctification process that occurs in our lives. It's not perfection, but it's a pursuit of perfection. When we misquote the verse, it's filled with pride. Holiness often is an outward sign with inward death still at work. If we have angst and we have problems with people and we try to be holy, what happens is we stop wearing makeup, wear long dresses. We clean up the outside, but the inside is full of dead man's bones. We're cleaning from the inside out. I'm at peace with all men. And the sad thing is, when we come to church, if we have angst against one another, if we get this feeling when we see somebody at church, I don't really want to talk to them. I did something last year and I've not been able to forgive them. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine coming to it? And that there's one of the things that have kept many churches small, ineffective, and barren. Because God is not going to send sinners to a place that has that problem. Am I talking to the right people? Come on. This kind of church will grow from family and cross-pollination, but new souls are barely seen because of the dangerous pitfalls of strife, jealousy, and sin in the camp. The other side of that is a church that grows, these churches that are growing because of compromising the word so as not to offend. They will grow by new converts, but what are they converted to? We're not talking about a club, we're talking about the body of Christ. We are to make disciples, not just deciders. Somebody make a decision for Christ, that's one thing. Now we're to make them disciples. Disciples are obedient to the whole Word of God. And I'm so very proud of New Life and these people that are here. And this is just a matter of letting the Holy Spirit take care of whatever residual things. And we're a great group of people, but it's time to grow. It's time to look at the outside, begin to invite people. And so what I want to do over the next few minutes, and then we'll come back and finish, if that's okay. We have till 1 o'clock anyway, so. What I'd like to do is just take, if you could put some worship music on, and just take a few minutes and feel free. Look, it's nobody's business what you do. It may be just a matter of hugging somebody. It may be a matter of taking your spouse into a corner and saying, let's get it right. It may be that you have to approach somebody. We don't want to get into the nuts and the bolts and the whys. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say pursue all the intricacies. Pursue peace with all people. Make sure your heart is completely pure. And I encourage you, if somebody's not here today that you want to talk to, go get a cup of coffee, make a phone call. Just say, you know what, I just want to tell you I love you. I forgive you. I had a problem, and there's not a problem anymore. Come on, you know what the Bible says? Pursue peace with all people. If we can't do it at this level, we're going to have a tough time out there. We're going to have a tough time out there. So let's just begin to just as the Lord moves you, should be talking to somebody, hugging somebody, because I think there's God's dealing with our hearts right now. And deal with children, relatives, neighbors. You need to get your heart right. It's maybe a comfortable environment here. We're all serving the Lord, but this needs to happen in every area of our lives. I don't want to have any encumbrances when God wants to use me. I don't want to become disqualified in any way. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I'm so very proud of this church, and we've asked you, look around, somebody that's not here, invite them to come. We're a family. And want to be a family moving forward, leaving the past behind. Whatever happened in the past is the past. If you can reset and we can go back and try it again, I'm with you, man, come. We'll go back, but I don't think anybody's got... If you got a reset button somewhere, I want to hang out with you. We don't, man. No matter how terrible yesterday was, it's yesterday. We can't go back. And this eternal thing is real stuff. We're going to spend eternity together, so we better get used to each other. Let's get back to Hebrews 12. Let me close. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You know, we cannot do what God is commanding us to do as a church with any hidden disagreements, anger, or bitterness. Now, I started it today. Maybe you were reluctant. You weren't ready to talk. That's okay. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. But get it right with everybody here. And if somebody's not here because you offended them or because you had words, get it right. Call them on the phone. Please forgive me. Come back. Be part of the family. Let's take care of things. Come on, someone. Now comes the warning. He says, this is what you're to do. But the warning is, don't miss the grace of God. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Because what happens is, it goes from unforgiveness and misunderstanding to bitterness. And a root of bitterness is a terrible thing to have. It will spring up and cause trouble every time. Don't miss the grace of God. We have a responsibility to one another to oversee and to help each other with our walk. I want to talk about a man named Chick. You don't know him, never meet him, but I'll talk about him. He gave me a call one day. He says, I need to talk to you right away. And his voice was broken. He was crying. So I said, come to the office right away. So he came to the office and he was packing. He had a pistol and it wasn't hidden. It was right in his front waistband. He said, I came home a little early from work, found my wife in bed with our neighbor. Now, when you're talking neighbor in the city, it's a neighbor. It's just one whole building. It's a row home. So the neighbor literally lived right next door. And Chick walked into the bedroom and the neighbor's standing at the curtains, looking out the curtains to see where he was. He's standing there, his wife's in bed. He said, I want you to pray with me because I'm going to go commit murder. How would you like that on the first thing in the morning? I said, Chick, you can't do that, man. You go to jail. You can't kill somebody. What's the matter with you? And we got calmed down and talked down. It took a lot, but I got him to calm down. He moved out of the house. He moved out and he rented a place across the river in New Jersey. And met the guy a couple times and threatened him and walked through it. And we prayed. Man, he'd call and cry. Sometimes he'd call in the middle of the night. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's married to her 30 years, around 25, 30 years. I forget, somewhere in there. And So he said, what am I going to do? And I said, you got to forgive. No matter what you do, the marriage may be over, but you got to forgive, Chick. You've got to forgive her and you've got to forgive him. The hardest thing this man ever had. How many know? Put yourself in that position. I ain't forgiving anybody. First, I'm going to kill him and I'm going to divorce her. Come on, someone. That's a natural feeling. Today, Chick and his wife are still together. He forgave her, forgave the man that was to the side. They sit down and talk. He sold his house. They moved across the river. Chick and his wife came back. They forgave one another, got some counseling with us, loved on one another, and they're closer today than they've ever been. But it was because he pursued peace and asked forgiveness at the right time. And bitterness could have taken hold of him. It did that day. He wasn't fooling with a loaded pistol and the look on his face. This stuff works, folks, if you allow the Holy Ghost to work. Don't miss the grace of God. No one misses the grace of God and succeeds. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God's grace is not only unmerited favor, it's the power against sin. It's a power against bitterness. It's the power against acting like the world. We're not to walk or talk or act like this world. We're to walk in forgiveness and understanding towards one another. Galatians 5:4, if you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Mutual supervision stimulates growth. There are certain standards we all need to rise to and grow in those standards. Part of the growing together as a church, when is the last time you were corrected for behavior by a concerned brother or sister? Allow yourself to be corrected. And if you've got to correct somebody, pray for them first. I've told this story before, but I was with a pastor one time and I had just been through a really tough time. And I hated everybody. Anybody ever been there? You just hate everybody. You don't want to be near anybody. And I was complaining. We're driving down the road. And he said, turned to me and he said, oh, shut up and quit your belly aching. I'm tired of hearing it. And I said, what? He said, I'm tired of hearing it. I said, pull his car over. He pulled the car over and I got out and stood by the side of the car and I said, get out, I'm going to knock you out. Wasn't very Christian, was it? I said, get out of that car, I'm going to knock you out. He got out of the car, walked around, got close to my face. He said, you can knock me out, but when I get back up, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Stop your belly again and complain. You need to forgive. You need to move on with your life. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget where we were that time. God spoke to me, and I turned my life around because of that. Because somebody had the guts to say, go ahead and knock me out. And he's a little bit bigger than me. I'd have probably ended up punching him in the fist with my nose. And another time, some of you know John Chiver. Another time I was with John overseas, and another bad time had happened in our lives. We had a church split, and I was cantankerous. We were actually in Pakistan, in a dangerous place to be mad. You know what I'm saying? And we were in the hotel room, I'll never forget, and we were praying, and I was weeping and asking him for... And man, he came over. He crossed the room. If you know John Chiver, he's Mr. Tender. He came over and got about this close to my nose and yelled at me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, boy, you got guts. But he said some things to me that needed to be said in the Spirit of the Lord. And I was healed on that bed in that hotel room, healed completely. Because somebody had the guts. So we oversee one another for love and for maturity and take it on the chin when somebody comes to you. Understand that they're coming to you out of love. Because we don't want a root of bitterness. Offenses not taken care of immediately grow into bitterness. When this takes place, listen to me, a whole congregation, an area, a town, yes, even a country become entangled in sin. You don't believe me? Antifa. Black Lives Matter. The Women's March. The Me Too movement. That's all based on bitterness and unforgiveness. Every bit of it. I'm actually being asked to beg forgiveness for something that happened 200, 300 years ago. Sorry, I wasn't there. I didn't do it. It's a root of bitterness. And Jesus said to us, watch this, Matthew chapter 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Now Jesus didn't say, allow me to make the tree good. He said, you make the tree good. How do you make the tree good? You live right. You ask forgiveness. You pursue peace. See, we are responsible for our actions and our reactions. Not following the clear-cut commands of Scripture brings confusion. James puts it this way, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. Every evil thing is there. Your spiritual well-being rests on how you react to tough situations. Cut the complaining. Stop it. If you're complaining about life, change it. Come on, someone. Don't talk about it with anyone until you talk with God. If you've got a problem, first go to God and talk about it. Then approach that person. Approach that situation. Either get on top of it or get away from it. But don't allow it to affect your spiritual life. Nothing's worth that. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. Be willing to be wrong for peace and holiness' sake. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just say, I'm wrong, even though you think you're right. Who cares? What does it matter for eternity? I'm wrong. Please forgive me. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you're at the altar and somebody has something against you, go and get it right with them. Well, why don't they come to me? I'm at the altar. I'm the Holy One. They're out there mad at me. Now Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar and go get it right with Him first. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen today. Amen. Stay pure before God. In closing, Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now, why would they say that? Why would he? What are you bringing Esau up for? He's the idiot that gave his birthright for a bowl of soup. He's drawing a comparison here for us to look at. Fornication is fooling with other means to get what you want. It's trying to manipulate our environment to get what we want. The only way we succeed is through God. If God doesn't give us success, we don't want success. I don't want success trying to get around, find loopholes. That's fornication. Spiritual adultery. Beware. Manipulation of spiritual things leads to being bound in sin and its results. Just as Esau sold his birthright, we can give up heavenly positions for earthly rewards. Just like Esau gave his birthright, we could say, you know what? I want to be successful. I'll take this shortcut. You might be successful in this life. Be surprised in the next. If you then were raised with Christ, Colossians says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For your life, you've died and your life is hidden in Christ. Success. I'm so excited about what God is doing. I can't tell you. I'm entering into a time of prayer and fasting myself, my personal life, and for the church. But let me tell you, I've never been more excited than I am. God is up to something. 2018 is going to be a tremendous year. Can you believe we're almost at the end of January already? I just got used to writing 2018. How many have had to scribble out the 7 and put an 8? But it's going to be a good year. And I'm so proud to be here as part of New Life. New Life is happening at New Life. Please talk it up. Give people calls. Talk about it. Pray about it. If you've got any questions, if you've got any ideas, approach any of the leadership. We'll tell you what's on the back burner and what we're planning. And it's just a matter of switching from a little geography from here to there. But it's going to do tremendous things. And please look around. Invite somebody that's not here to come. We love you. God bless you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters today. I'm so very excited about what you're doing in our midst. God, you have lit a fire in us. I know that the elders, the leadership, you've lit a fire in us. We have new vision, new hope. Thank you for the lost that are around us, God. We pray for the prodigals that have been away. Pray, oh God, that you bring them back to your church, oh God, all over this area. Churches would receive those who have walked away. And Lord, we pray for those that don't know you yet, God, that you would draw them by the power of your Spirit. We want to be a part of that, God. If it's a matter of just moving the net from the left side to the right side of the boat, casting our nets, if it's a matter of going out into the deep, whatever it takes, God, we're looking to the outside. Thank you for what you're doing on the inside, that you're making us one. Father, that our lives are an open book to you, Father, and this place of maturity that you brought us to. Now we'll begin to see that reproduction. We thank you. We love you, Father. We bless you. I pray blessings on each and every one. Let them be blessed with everything they touch and where they walk. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.